Blog Talk Radio.
Penny. Okay, there we go.
Hi, everyone. This is Camille from sunny California, and you're listening to the Coffee Chat with Camille show, which is a podcast series that interviews various guests about real-life topics for people who love to learn.
Hi, everybody. It is the evening time in California. Our topic is, how is it writing as a first-time author with J.V. Hillert? I'm going to tell you a little bit about J.V. because I'm pretty sure he's holding on the line. I am, as he says, I am a debut author of the epic fantasy book, The Last Keeper, book one of the War Minister series. If your audience are fans of Sword and Sorcerer, Dungeons and Dragons, Tolkien, and Game of Thrones, or are partial to fantasy adventure tales with gripping action and heart-pounding adventure, they are sure to love this classical series. Okay, so you can go to JV's website, and it is JV Hillert, spelled HILLIART.com. Okay, now we're about to get into this interview. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, JV.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, it's such a pleasure. I'm going to go ahead and jump into the interview. So,
no
why
problem.
Do you write?
Well, you know, I've always had an interest in it. When I was growing up, I think my interest was spurred in two separate instances. First of all, in the one that really kind of calls you home, my uncle was paralyzed in the Vietnam War. He was a Marine. And when I grew up, my mother was his nurse, and he was like a second father to me. So I grew up in his bedroom, and he was very limited in what he can do. And some of the things he could do involved writing. You know, so he didn't look at his condition as something that would limit him. And it inspired me as a young child. And so he wrote on a typewriter with a utensil that the VA, you know, fixed for him, and he was able to click on his typewriter, and even though he was bedridden and part of the time was in a wheelchair, that was something he could do, and that was his form of escapism. And so as when you're young, you're always looking up to your dad, and I wanted to be a writer. And then the second part of it was, you know, around the same time that I recognized that I liked writing, I had an English teacher when I was in fourth or fifth grade leave on a medical sabbatical, and the substitute teacher that came in to finish the year, he was in for about maybe 4 or 5 weeks, ended up reading us The Hobbit by Tolkien, and I just fell in love with fantasy adventure ever since. I mean, I looked forward to going to class to hear the next chapter in the story, and you combine those two things, and that's really why I write.
Wonderful. And then why do you write in your specific genre?
Well, you know, it's something that's always appealed to me from those times, that I mentioned with my introduction to Tolkien. But what really took off for me was, you know, I've been a role player for a number of years. In particular, Dungeons and Dragons is my favorite game. I've played other role-playing games, but, you know, that is a game for storytellers and folks that want to play different characters. And it allows you to, you know, to be something that you're not and find a form of your own escapism. And me and my friends from high school have been playing for 20 years now. And we all have families, and some of us are scattered around the country, but we all get on, you know, Skype on Sunday nights from 6 to 10 and, you know, play the next adventure. And, you know, some guys have a poker club. You know, other guys play softball or whatever. We play Dungeons and Dragons. So, you know, it's kind of nerdy, but it's a lot of fun. And I think that, you know, that's kind of, it feels like home to me. I understand the genre very well. I've read many of the popular and many of the indie authors that I like, that have, come along through that genre. And so I've always, sci-fi and fantasy have always appealed to me. But my favorite is of course fantasy adventure.
Thank you so much. And then what do you love most about writing and being an author?
A few things, right? So I think that the first thing is it's escapism. You know, my day job is that of a DC lobbyist. I do government affairs work in the defense and technology industries. And that is all the realism I need. You know, it's already real enough. You couple that with politics that wrap around that in many instances. And, you know, I need something to escape from that. And so for me, this is a form of escapism. Secondly, I've always wanted to entertain people. Now, I don't have the talent to pick up a guitar or sing a song, I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. You know, so there's, you know, my talents are limited to storytelling, and I happen to be a pretty good writer. And part of that is because I write every day, you know, and even though most of it for my day job has been nonfiction, I've been able to attune myself to writing more and better dialogue. And of course, you know, in storytelling, it's a little different than what I do day to day, writing policy or grants or things of that nature. This is more, to be frank, I've got to learn how to pace my stories, and, you know, I've got to, you know, spin the tale, and I've got to have character development and all these things I had to learn a little bit on the fly. But, you know, I think that gives me the opportunity to throw this work out into the world and hope people, you know, really enjoy it and see, you know, I have what makes me tick, you know, when people, you know, I've gotten fan art where people have drawn characters that they've imagined from reading the novels, or people that have contacted me wanting to write fan fiction about the Warminster series, you know, and it's just, that is humbling. You know, it's very flattering when people spend their, you know, their downtime reading your stuff, and it makes you feel good. And so I really enjoy that. And those are really the two reasons why I do it.
Okay. And then who is your favorite character in one of your books?
Well, I have, that's a bit of a cheat. I'll answer it honestly. Sir Ritter of Valkyneer is likely my favorite character. And the reason it is because I played him as a Dungeons & Dragons character. Now, my world is clearly different than Dungeons & Dragons. You know, I have to, you know, the realm of Warminster is a made-up realm. It is inspired by much of my gameplay, but, you know, it has unique monsters and unique characters and unique magic systems and things that make it my own. But Sir Ritter was a character I played for almost 2 years, and he was kind of like an Aragorn from Tolkien, or, you know, the kind of like hero, you know, unspoken, quiet leader type. And, you know, he ends up being, you know, a dutiful hero throughout the novels, and, you know, has to overcome some of his own challenges, which is he falls in love with a highborn elven priest or princess. And he himself is lowborn. He's kind of like a, you know, he's a mudblood, if you're to use a Harry Potter term. He's part human and part elven, and therefore he's an outcast in both societies. And so, you know, there's lessons to be learned about duty and a call to duty and serving and doing the right thing, even though it pulls against what you want to do personally. And there's also something that, you know, talks about, you know, contemporary society in that too, which is, you know, people marrying people of different races, different, you know, colors, you know, different genders getting together and things like that. And how Ritter is sort of like this quiet hero that for a while was looked down upon, ends up being a, you know, one of the saviors of the realm, you know, at the end of the day, and, you know, why people open their eyes to, you know, why they shouldn't look down or why they shouldn't be accepting of all kinds. And so there's, there's so much wrapped into him. You know, I just think that he's just a really cool character, and that's why I like him the most.
Wonderful. How do you write, plotter or pantser?
I am a plotter to the core. I have tried to be a pantser, and it just doesn't work for me. You know, I need to know the direction in which I'm writing, and I write my novels backwards to front. And I do that because it's easy for me to then make sure that everything I want to get into that novel is in there. Because if so I kind of reverse engineer my way to this, you know, this plot. And I plot everything out on a whiteboard in my office. And, you know, I make sure that the character arcs are hitting the right places and the plot lines are coming together at the right places. And then as I add them into the novel, writing it backwards, I erase them from the board. And that way I never miss anything. Everything's baked into it. And I feel more comfortable with that. And I think that's, you know, part of being an epic fantasy writer. There's so much. I mean, you're building a world that the readers are looking into right now, but has a distant past and it also has a future. You know, very much like Game of Thrones or Tolkien or Wheel of Time or any of the more popular fantasy adventure novels, you see that and you have to plan for that. You just can't sit down and wing that. And I think that that appeals to my meticulous nature, you know, and I think that that's something that makes it easier for me to be a plotter. And I don't think I could do it. Like if someone said, hey, here's a couple of topics, sit down and go, like write me something by the end of the day, I would freeze up. Like I need to know where I'm writing to, like give me an end, give me an event. And so, you know, that's how I handle it. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not the way everybody does it, but fortunately for me, that's the way I do it. And it works pretty well. So I'll roll with it.
Cute. And then who are your favorite authors and which one has influenced you?
Well, you know, that's an easy one, right? So I say he's the granddaddy of them all, but J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, without him, there would not be a fantasy adventure genre. So it's hard to say he's not one of my favorites. And I like his writing style too. It's very dense. It's rich. You can get into it and read it several times and, you know, pick up something new every time you get into it. And I think that he would be at the top of that list. And others that are in that category, more contemporary authors, are people like R.A. Salvatore, who writes the Dritz Duorden, like the Dark Elf trilogy for Forgotten Realms, and Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman, who are, you know, popularized by the Dragonlance series. Again, both of those authors come from Dungeons & Dragons backgrounds. And so I've emulated them in a way. Now, I don't have the right to borrow Dungeons & Dragons stuff straight up, so I had to create my own stuff. But it's near enough that, you know, folks that play the game will see that there's, you know, there's gameplay built into, you know, my stories. And much of that has been memorialized over the years of my gameplay. That's where I come up with some of my plots. But I do say this because I think it shocks people sometimes. I think my favorite author of all time is Bram Stoker. You know, I think he is amazing. He's really detailed. I love reading his stuff. And Dracula and the Gothic appeal to me. So I try to make my epic fantasy a little dark fantasy too. And I think that that gives a little bit of a, you know, a difference between what you would typically read. You know, in an epic fantasy, you'll see a little bit of that dark gothic horror stuff that pops out of my novels from time to time.
And so did you weave any real-life experiences into the novels?
I sure did. You know, as a DC lobbyist, I learned a couple of things. I mean, first of all, you're around politics every day. And as a result, you see how people govern and you see how deals are cut. And you're part of that deal making, and then you see how that translates at the local, state, and federal levels of government, as well as internationally, and understanding how countries think. And, you know, in, you know, my sort of medieval fantasy setting, you know, how this feudal system works, a lot of what happens today is grounded in those novels. So, like, the plot lines are not dissimilar from plot lines you would see happening in today or near today's society. And I've learned a lot from that. And secondarily, I've also always had an interest in science fiction. And so what I've taken with my work with the Pentagon and technology, and I've woven that into my stories too. I've created a magical city called Abacus, which is a sort of a free-thinking city, a city of scholars in the realm. And each book, Abacus plays a role with the creation of a new tech. Now, I say that not to scare away people that like traditional fantasy where you're really using swords and shields and armor. That is 99% of what you're going to find in my novels. But I try every now and then to give the good guys and the bad guys a little bit of a tech advantage just to kind of, you know, to satisfy those that like sci-fi like me. But it's not overwhelming. It's something that's, you know, set within the time frame of like Western medieval societies. So you'll recognize some stuff because it's stuff that's really come from history. You might not know how it was used or where it came from, and I might name it something different. But if you're clever enough to see it, you'll be able to pick up on some of that stuff, and it gives the good guys an advantage every now and then.
Oh, that's outstanding. And then if you could spend a day with one of your characters, who would it be and why?
That's a great question. I would choose Damus Alaric. And Damus is the main character in the novels. And in part, it's because he goes through such a transformation. He's sort of, it's like a coming of age story for him in many ways. He's a little older than, you know, a Harry Potter theme. But, you know, he's a, you know, when the novels start out, he's somewhere in his late teens, and he's graduating from this school called the Cathedral of the Watchful Eye, and he's becoming a Keeper of the Forbidden. And this is a character that has the ability of a prophet, a seer. And he sees things that come to pass when he dreams, very much like a modern-day Edgar Casey would. And, you know, these dreams formulate really the direction of the first plot line, which is this rivalry that's growing between him and the villain, this man named Grey Taurus the Mad, who also has this power, but is a fallen keeper, someone that used the tenets of his religion of wisdom and knowledge in a way that he was punished and cursed by his ancient, which is my term for gods and goddesses, the ancients. And as a result, he was stripped of his powers. And for some reason, he is catapulted into this harrowing adventure between his drive for vengeance and Damus's drive to stop it from happening, to save the realm and to save his sect. And so looking through Damus's eyes would be terrifying because you're seeing all these things before they happen. And also, you know, he doesn't know how to control it. You know, so I would love to be in his shoes for just a day to feel what I'm writing, hoping that I can instill in him so when other people read it, they can see it too. But also, like, he knows he has he's a young character with an old wisdom. You know, it's something he sees coming, and in the beginning, he just doesn't know how to use it, and he has to mature into it over the course of the four-book series. And I think that it would be interesting just to pick his brain because he's like the reluctant hero, right? Like, I don't want any of this. I just want to be a normal guy. And yet he can't be. The realm's depending on him. And so I think that's a lot of fun. And it would be interesting to hear it from his voice instead of my voice, you know, projected into his.
Right. And then if your book becomes a movie, what actor or actress would you play?
Me? Oh my goodness! I don't know if I don't have the kind of face that's good for cameras. So I would suggest they might want to have me narrate, and I would like to be the chronicler of the realm. What actor? You know, the James Earl Jones voice for that kind of role would be completely incredible. But, you know, my sense is that he might be a little too expensive, you know, for my low budget, low rent movie when it starts to come out. But I would say James Earl, I want to cast Darth Vader's voice as me, you know, the voice of the chronicler of the realm of Warminster. And then I can avoid it. Maybe they show me like, you know, like Burl Ives was the snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, where it's really not Burl Ives, but it's a, you know, it's a claymation Burl Ives. If they could do that with me, you know, and just show me like shadows in the background, I think that would be to everybody's advantage.
Okay. And so, my last question for you, JV, is what is your favorite coffee and or hot beverage?
So I grew up in a British household. Part of my family was first generation Brits that came from London. The other part of my family were first generation Germans that came from Munich. So we didn't drink a lot of coffee. We drank beer and tea. So my favorite hot beverage is Earl Grey tea that my grandfather and grandmother, for that matter, used to make. So I would say Earl Grey tea any time of the day.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, JV. This has been a wonderful interview with you. And you have a great voice, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you so
very
much.
Well, maybe I can narrate my own movie then. I don't need James Earl Jones. Let's kick him to the curb.
Oh, is there any, how can I say it, social media handles that you want to leave with our guest? I did let them know about your website. It's also in the description of the show.
Yeah, sure. So if you want to find me on social media, I'm really easy to find. You can look at JV Hilliard Books, and you can find me there on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, or Instagram. And then if you just use JV Hilliard, you could find me on Facebook and Discord. So that's where I am, and that's how you can get a hold of me.
Beautiful. Thank you again. It's been such a pleasure, and bye for now.
Thank you very much. I really, again, appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. Bye for now. Thank you. Okay, everyone, that was the wonderful JV Hilliard, right? He has a great, great voice, and apparently he's just an incredible person. So what I want to do is, again, mention his email, his website. It's JV Hilliard, which is HILLIARD.com. Okay. And if you want to read the show notes, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and then just put in Coffee Chat with Camille. And then probably by tomorrow, or at least by the end of the week, this particular episode in season 6, it will be on the website, which is coffeechatwithcamille.com. Okay, so thank you guys so much for being great listeners out there and a great audience. And again, thank you, JV. Bye for now, everyone.